Welcome to the Church Investment Update. Church Investment exists to equip church members with opportunities and resources from a biblical worldview to better invest in the local church. Healthy church members produce healthy churches, and healthy church members invest in the local church. More can be discovered at our website, fbcjonesboro.net. I'm Trey Etheridge.
I'm Brian McAllister.
And thank you so much for joining us for this update. Well, good morning, brother. It has been several weeks since we have met for an update, and so I'm glad to be with you this morning.
Yes, we've been rather busy over the last few weeks.
Lots happening, and lots happening within the life of our church. And that's one of the reasons this will be a little bit shorter today. We're just going to spend some time updating the church on what is to come and some great events that we have happening within the life of our church. Just so you know, in the future, hopefully within the coming weeks, this will be, instead of the Church Investment Update, we'll kind of transform into the Church Investment Podcast.
Podcast, yes.
Hopefully you'll be able to subscribe to this through Apple, Google Play, as well as a number of other hosting sites.
And we're going to kind of take on a new, I don't know about format, maybe. We'll have discussion, talk about things, but it really won't be, I guess, we may do a little bit on the sermon, kind of going back over the sermon, but mainly we'll take topics. And, you know, and kind of prepare beforehand and come and discuss those topics. And hopefully they will be of a good edifying deal for our church.
Yeah. Flesh those out and all revolving around church investment. How our members can invest.
Again, it won't just be for our church members. We're hoping that this will go a little further. Share this with friends and other people in the community. And so,
especially with churches within our association and seeking to build them up and increase.
Not a competition.
Right.
Not a competition. We want to build them up. And so any way we can do that. Yeah. So we're hoping. So we're really excited about. I am.
Which I
was a little nervous about all this at first. But I guess we talk well.
It works by the grace of God.
It works.
Yes. All right. Well, let's go to a few things that we've got this week. Of course, we've got the aftermath of Hurricane Ida. Church, I just want to congratulate you. I want to thank you just for all of the donations that we've received. Yeah. Spare office down there is about half full of stuff, and so we're going to get that to Rolling Hills. It's going to be a transport for us after this Sunday. But you can bring items all the way up until Sunday, and then sometime next week we'll get those to Rolling Hills. But thank you so much for your contribution.
There was also the contribution to the our association office for gas.
Oh, the gas barrels. That's right. Brother Craig's been on top of
that. Yeah, we had several. I think the text went out, and we had several $100 worth of gas was donated to go down south. And so people were bringing in that throughout the week, and so very thankful for that as well.
Yeah. Along those same lines, this coming Sunday, we're going to take up a love offering for our brothers and sisters of First Baptist Church Gonzales. They have been a tremendous help and ministry to us over the years, Brother Jim Law and others that are down there. And in fact, they came and helped us through Hurricane Laura.
They did.
Spent a couple of days with us and worked on some houses, cut trees and things. So we're going to take up a love offering for them. But also, if there is interest, and I'm going to put this over the text them all later today, but if there is interest in anyone, a couple of us going down, I've talked with the associate pastor, Pastor Jared Lamberth, and he said they are not in dire need, but they, of course, have some areas of cleanup. And so if you're interested in going down maybe Thursday and coming back Saturday, just let me know. And if the possibility exists, we may put a little team together and go down and do some service in that regard.
You know, matter of fact, just yesterday I was at Walmart and I saw one of the people who we helped last year when Gonzalez was here. And about a week or two ago, I saw another lady who we had helped. And so they were still very thankful for the work that was done. So this, the work that you do does, you know, they don't forget. They're thankful for the help that they receive. Also, I would even add to that, you know, we've had a few of ours. There's a couple of families in our church who have a family that are down south.
Exactly.
So like Mike Holder's son, Shane, I haven't heard on the full extent, but I don't think it's going to be good. So be praying for Shane and his family. for Mike and them. So
they're trying to gather information now, and I know that we can certainly do something in the near future to help them as well. As soon as I think they're just still trying to put a pin on it. It's unreal when you see that the damage that has been done. But beyond that, though, want to encourage you. I sent out a video earlier this week just introducing our new Sunday school curriculum. The biblical or the Baptist, rather, Baptist expositor. Oh, I've got it right here. Maybe I'll hold it upright. I didn't do it well on the video. But the Baptist expositor, going through the book of Ecclesiastes. I've heard some of you say, man, I wouldn't have picked that one to start off with a new curriculum.
It's like not only are you getting in a new pool, we have been thrown into the deep end of the new pool.
Just thrown in and swim. Swim. If you don't want to drown, swim. But I'm excited about this, and some of you have already talked to me about how you're enjoying it. But I want to stress the big thing is that there's some prep work, First Baptist. We want to kind of raise the bar in terms of our Bible study, in terms of our Sunday school groups. And as Christians, we must grow in the Word. We must seek to grow.
Well, it's one of our core values. Determine
exactly.
Determine discipleship. And so part of being a disciple is growing in the Word. And you can't grow in the Word if you don't know how to study the Word.
Right.
And so, you know, we were talking to somebody this past week about it, and I told him, I said, you know, using this inductive Bible study, you know, or method, you actually could preach a sermon by the time you're done.
Observe, interpret, and apply.
Yes. Yeah. So, because that's exactly what you and I do when we're preparing to preach. You know, we take a text, we have to observe, see what is taking place within that book or within that letter. You know, who wrote it? Who's he writing it to? What are some of the problems going on? Then interpret, you look at the scriptures. What are these verses saying? What is the author saying to these people? And so what is the overall point here? What doctrines kind of come out of it? Then you get into the applications. How does this apply to me? And so what's amazing is we're basically taking a very in-depth method, and we're learning it as a church to fulfill a core value, determined discipleship. It's not going to be easy.
No, no. And to be able to study the Bible for ourselves, which is the goal there. Well, and so let me just remind you, what should you be doing throughout the week? Because there's actually three sections within each lesson. And I know that when you first look at it, you think, well, this is overwhelming. I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. First and foremost, at the beginning of each lesson, there are three sets of questions. And it has to do with those areas: observe, interpret, and imply. So if you do nothing else, read the passage. In this case, it's Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Read the passage several times throughout the week. And just begin to work your way through those questions. Even if you're not able to write answers down to them, just think through them. Be familiar with them. What do you observe in the text? Who wrote the text? That was one of the questions we had this past week from somebody. What nuances do you see? What's repeated in the text? And that will help you with the interpretation. There's questions on that. And then application. And like we talked about first of the week, application comes at the end. We've got to understand, or at least have a good grasp on what the text meant for the original hearers in order to understand what it means for us.
I think that's one of the hardest things that I have seen to, I don't know what the word would be, but to kind of correct in us.
Mm-hmm. Certainly.
I think within the American Christianity, we start with application. We immediately read the text and we go, what does this mean for me? What does this mean to me? You know? And all of a sudden you get many different interpretations, and that's a danger. That's where a lot of false teaching comes from. And so this inductive Bible method is really going to kind of reverse that and take us through the proper way in which we do it.
That's why we're in that biblical illiteracy state now, because people just take a verse.
Yeah. We haven't been taught how to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
And so this will certainly do that. And I will say this, after years after learning this and years of just preaching, you know, application actually means more when you have a better understanding of the interpretation and the observation.
Right.
To me, your application becomes even, I don't know, weightier. You know, it's a greater treasure, you know, it's a little more polished to me.
Yeah.
And so I think that'll be very good. My encouragement as your pastor would be this, is just, it may be new to you. Don't get discouraged. I know it may be a little hard. Just do hard things, walk through it, and we'll get there. And so we don't want to give up on this.
Don't let the content throw you on that. Mm-hmm. Again, once you get past those questions, the second section in there, it looks like an outline, and that's exactly what it is. Beloved, that's not for you during the week. That's for your teacher. And there's actually three different ways they can teach through it. So they may use the outline, they may not, but it's just a simple outline of the passage that you're studying. So you really don't have to do anything. There's some fill in the blanks, but your teacher may or may not cover that. Don't stress over that. And the last section is just commentary. So here's how this works. When you go through the questions and you answer, you observe, interpret, and apply, do that without the commentary. Do that just between the scriptures that are in front of you, and do that with the word of the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord speaking to you.
And pray through it.
Pray through it, yeah, and spend some time meditating on it, thinking about it. And then if you want to, go read through that commentary because that's what you're going to discuss. And it also kind of helps to check and make sure you're on the right path there. Yeah. Yeah. And your commentary will be some of the things that your teacher covers as well. But don't let it throw you. I'm looking forward to it. This is what I know. I know the more that you're in the Word, the more your desire increases for the Word. And so I'm looking forward to people's study
you and I both know this, that when someone begins to make new commitments in their life, there's always Satan, whatever, you know, there's always going to be something that's going to kind of disrupt you.
That's it.
You know, you just press on through it. And I think this will be, it's going to be beneficial for our church and for us, you know, you as an individual, your family and our church, as we learn to observe, interpret and apply the scripture. Yeah.
Amen. Looking forward to it. Next thing we got coming up, September 11th, Crafty Cafe. Mm-hmm. It is almost here. It's always a great time for our association and the WMU ladies within our association. So the signs are up, and make sure that you're a part of that if you can. And then on the 12th of September, State of the Church Address. I think you're excited about this, brother.
I am. Yeah, you and I sat and talked about it yesterday. Spent several days this week really just prayerfully looking and meditating through Scripture and have fallen on John chapter 3, verse 22 through verse 30. There where John says that we must decrease that he may increase. And so if you want to go ahead and get a jump start on that, be meditating and reading and meditating on John chapter 3, verse 20 through 33. And I think that's going to be, well, it'll be a little bit different than our State of the Church Address in format and even I think in message. I think in format, you know, we've always done it on Sunday night, followed by a fellowship or the Lord's Supper. This year will be Sunday morning. We're encouraging our church members to bring people who they would like to invite to church. People who may have attended, you know, some before. We want to encourage people to come and hear, you know, what we've accomplished, what we're doing, but really what type of church we're looking to be.
Right.
And so I really think that this will be one that I think is going to really kind of hit home and really challenge us as individual church members this year. And so I'm looking forward to that. But then we'll follow that up with Sunday night on a sermon on the Lord's Supper, and then we will take the Lord's Supper. Yeah. And our hope is this year that we'll be taking the Lord's Supper on a more regular basis rather than once every quarter.
Yeah.
So
yeah, love it.
It's going to be good. It's going to be really good. Yeah. So as we preached on and talked about a few weeks ago, the Lord's Supper is something that we should be looking forward to and preparing, as Paul tells us,
preparing our hearts for.
So begin preparing, examining yourself, begin readying yourself. And we will take the Lord's Supper, and so and we'll do it the old way. We will actually pass the bread, the juice around, instead of having to deal with those little flimsy cups and things. So
the little styrofoam wafer.
Yes,
I'm convinced that was just pure styrofoam. There's no other taste like it. I love the State of the Church address. I love that time. There's not one person. I've had many who have asked me about that. Mm-hmm. And they go, State of the Church, what is that?
Yep.
And there's you did not turn off your phone.
I did.
Here we are. But many have asked me, what is that? That's unique. We haven't heard of that before. And so when you explain what it is, it's a general revision casting, but also looking back at what the church has done, what God has done through the church, but mm-hmm. then also where God is leading us to move yes. forward. And especially, I think, with this year of the challenge that you're looking to give to us as a church, I'm just excited about that. But people get that.
Yes.
And they, that tells me what I need to be doing as part of the church, as I invest in the church.
And one of the things that I've heard is that I heard early on at FBC was we're all on the same page. You know, sometimes people don't realize what's going on in the office.
Right.
They don't realize what we're looking at and where our vision is and where we're going. And so, or what one committee's doing or what, you know, things that are working or what problems are taking place or what things have been accomplished. Mm-hmm. And so we're all able to come together and they hear that and they go. And so it's really kind of a congregational glue. We're together. We're all figuring, you know, seeing what God's doing and no one is left out of the loop.
Yeah.
And so it's always good.
Well, last thing I have, brother, is FBC Loves Jonesboro Day. It is fast approaching us. Saturday, September the 18th. This will be a pretty much all-day affair of where we're going to seek to love our Jerusalem. And we're going to go out into the community and fulfill some tasks and duties that need be. There's going to be things that I know of soffit repair being done and a few yard cleanups happening and things of that nature. We've got a lot who have signed up to participate. You can still sign up. Please do let us know that you want to be a part of that. But also, if you have any places of need, if you know of this, and what we're looking for is any kind of community work, and it can vary. Just let us know, though. Contact the church office. Contact me, Brother Brian. Contact Melanie. And let us know what area of need you have. And because we want to do this, it's going to be something we're going to duplicate in the future.
Oh, yes.
Just to be able to get out into our community, let them see that we care and that we want to serve them in any way we can.
Yes. It'd be a very wonderful time of, you know, of reaching our Jerusalem.
Yeah.
You know, we're investing in our church, but we're also investing in our community.
Amen.
And this is our Jerusalem and we need to reach it.
Amen. Amen. Well, brother, you got any other things?
I've got a couple other things. One, I wrote down, I know we have a love offering coming up.
Georgia Barnett.
I couldn't remember which one. I always get them confused.
Yeah.
But we do.
Georgia State
Barnett,
offering.
Yeah, the state offering. Georgia Barnett offering is coming up. And so this year, we'll do it like we did last time. The RAs, GAs will be involved in this, Mission Friends. And
the
so,
buckets.
The buckets. Yeah. And so anyways, they'll look forward to that. So be looking forward to seeing that. Keep your ears open. And some more information will be coming. But that is coming, so be praying about what you can give. And then also, the only other thing I have is Revival, October 24th through 27th with Brother Ed Lacey. Looking forward to Revival.
Amen.
I think there's going to be a connection. I hope there is. I hope that we see this, a connection in what hopefully I'll be preaching at the State of the Church address and then with Revival. Because I think Brother Ed Lacey is going to challenge us as well. And so Revival will be on 24th through 27th. We want to begin promoting it. So this is one way we're going to promote it. We want to promote the Revival with Brother Ed Lacey. We want you to bring people. We want you to begin praying about it. We want to pray that we're able to have it because we know that we're in this COVID world. And so we have to truly, you know, always be ready to make changes. But as of right now, we are full steam ahead on this. And so make plans October 24th and 27th in those evenings. He'll actually preach that morning, Sunday morning, Sunday night, then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday evening. And so we want our church to turn out, and we want our church to begin praying for God to bless and for the Spirit to be present and the Spirit to work in us.
Yeah. Yeah, and what a week that's going to be because we've got, and we haven't talked about this, but just to blow by it real quick, Revival happening 24th through 27th. It's going to culminate with Fall Fest. That Saturday. And then we got Reformation Day coming that Sunday on October 31st. Not Halloween, Reformation Day. Reformation Day. We're trying to remember that. But that's just going to be a great week.
It will be. Yeah. It'll be a busy week.
Yeah.
But we have been called to serve. And so begin now by praying and about who you're going to invite and who you can bring. And be prepared for Fall Fest. I forgot about Fall Fest coming up at the end of that week. We'll actually then be serving and ministering.
Again, to our community.
To our community, reaching our Jerusalem. So a lot going on, FBC, a lot going on.
Wonderful. Well, brother, it's been good. Anything else that you have?
I'm good.
I'm all out as well. But anyway, beloved, we thank you for this time. Please share this video if you can. Give us a like or comment there on the Facebook page. And we look forward to meeting and gathering with you this Lord's Day. Take care and God bless.